Well, good morning. Hey, the sun is out again. We can see the grass. A great day in January in Wisconsin, huh? All right, glad that you're here with us. Just a couple of things. In your bulletin, you see the sample ballot. You'll get one next week. Michelle come across this, and it might be something some of you are interested in. I think there's a copy back there. We could make some more, though, if this is something you'd like to do. It's put out by the Navigators, and it's talking about praying through your neighborhood. It might be something you can download, too, off of the site. But anyway, it's a number of different pages. Gives you some ideas on praying for your neighbors. I don't know how many of you are walking around the block or doing something like that. And you know some of those people. That might be a little motivation to get to know some of the other ones, so you got a name to put down there. But anyway, it's got even some suggested prayers if you can't come up with any of your own, which you probably can. But anyway, just kind of like a little map in here, and you can put people's names by it. And, you know, it's awful easy just to be listening to the radio or whatever else as you're doing your walk, but this might be something that you could put to use and be praying for your neighbors, for their salvation, for those who don't know the Lord, encouragement for others. Just a thought there that you might follow up on there. Okay, so this next week, or next Sunday, schedule's a little bit different in that we'll have a regular Sunday school class. You're invited to that. We're starting, for the adults, a new series of study there in the book of James. And so I'll be looking at that. And then morning service, Sanctity Human Life Sunday. I haven't talked to Holly here recently, but we'll have to check with her, see if that's anything she's, for those who may not be familiar with that, she's the director of the Alpha Women's Center, Crisis Pregnancy Center, and to kind of give us a bird's eye view of what's happening there. But if she's not up to that, she's in dealing with cancer and going through chemo, and so she's got some good days and bad days. If not, I'll be here sharing some thoughts on sanctity of human life. After that, we'll have a potluck, okay? And this is not anything you're signing up for, but what we've used in the past and seems to work out well is if families are able to bring a main dish and either a salad or a dessert, we always end up with plenty of food. So, and after you've eaten and everybody's happy, then we have our annual business meeting. So, and those aren't sparks flying or nothing anyway, but inside, do check your mailbox. Everybody got one of these in their mailbox. And if you don't have a mailbox, you'd like one, let us know. You can look it over. But it gives a report for myself, from the deacons, and then the financial report for the last quarter, October, November, December, and then for the annual for the whole year. So, and then there's a clear at the back, a proposed budget for the new year that they'll be looking to vote on. So we will also be making decisions about funds. When we get extra, we've been putting it into the building fund for the last quarter. We have not done so, but we will be planning on dividing that up among the missionaries. And so we'll be sharing that with you next Sunday as well, okay? Guess that cough drop only lasts for a half hour. I bring my own, but since they're all gone, I'll try one of these. Ricola. Somebody was having fun with me here the other day. I was a pile of them up here. I don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to hear me cough. Okay, well, the other ones work. We'll find out. I like the taste of mine better, but honey lemon or something like that. But okay, so enough of that. I think we're probably ready to sing. So Chris is going to come and lead us here now.
Well, good morning, everyone. Praise God, there's no snow out there. I used to feel so sorry for my wife out there shoveling snow or snow blowing. And, you know, I'm glad that she has a break. So if you wouldn't mind standing and turn to hymn number 43 in your hymnals, and we'll sing all three verses. Great is thy faithfulness. And we'll sing also all three verses, please. God leads us along.
God leads his dear children along. the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, God gives the song in the night season and all the day long. Sorrows befall us and Satan opposes. God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
And all God's children says,
amen.
Good.
You may be seated.
Oh, now we got a variety pack. Okay, thank you. Yeah, here one day I had lemon and honey with the coldies or the red ones. I suppose it's cherry flavored, and the other ones are, you know, it's got to go in the candy store. All right, so sometimes we get to be afraid, don't we? Anybody want to share a time in their life when they've been afraid? Mark? Okay, good. Chris?
Well, I basically worked about 45 years in my trade, and the second last job I had was working for General Motors, you know, that big stable rock headquartered in Detroit. And I got a notice, it was on a Thursday or Friday, saying they'll no longer need my services or services of anyone else. That was a GM plant at Oak Creek. I went home that night and told Patty, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm too young to retire. I'll have to work till I die. Well, I think it was the next day. I wasn't even looking for a job. I got a phone call from a place out here in New Berlin. They're looking for somebody with my background. Would you like a job? So I was down there in about 30 seconds. And it's been one job after another like that, starting with Kearney & Schreffer, American Motors, Evinrude, General Electric, and so forth. And it seems like all of them went out of business, so at first I was blaming myself for the but each time God is trying to teach me something, that don't be afraid. I know what the future will bring, and I know exactly what you need. And he provided those jobs one after another, so we could pay our bills and so forth.
Are you working any place right now, Chris?
Yeah, my trees.
And they're falling down. No. No, I just thought people ought to know if you're working in the same spot, maybe it's time to go look for another job before they close it down. But yeah, God does. He knows exactly. He's able to see out there a whole lot further than we are. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, and he knows what's going to happen in eternity. So, yeah, okay. The one that kind of comes to my mind, there's probably many of them, but Jonathan was working down at a place called Nantahala. It was a, kind of an outdoor place. They would rent out kayaks and all kinds of things that people would do whitewater rafting, and we went down to see them. And we were going over the Smokies, and there was a wreck. Some car had went off the side, and they had to close the road down. And so they shoved us off into a little campground to set and wait till that cleared out and we could drive on over. And I got where I ended up having to park was on a hill. And so, you know, I put it in park, jammed on the emergency brake. And then a while later, I don't remember how long it was, I said, okay, you guys can go. And okay, we're all excited. We're going to go up the hill, you know, and run in, jump in the car, and away we go. And I'm getting up. You know where it's going, don't you? And going up the hill, and I get, and it's all of a sudden the car's going, you know, and I got all these cars behind me, so I pull off the side in this little place where I could pull off. And the car dies and doesn't want to start. Okay, Jonathan knows we're coming, but let me see here. Pull out cell phone. There are no bars. It doesn't matter if you got AAA or not. You can't call them. And so, okay, what am I going to do here? We're like 11 miles from Gatlinburg. If I get this thing turned around, can I coast 11 miles? Are these guys going to want to putt along behind me at 10 miles an hour because I'm still moving? I don't know what to, you know. And, so I'm having a mild panic attack or something here, you know. This has happened one other time. The little light that shows that your brake light is, your emergency brake's on, it wasn't plugged in. And this happened once to Maureen. And then it was, I don't know, I think she's the one that told me, is the emergency brake on? Ah, pop. Anyway, by this time the car starts, runs fine. But I was wondering there for a little while how this is going to all work out. Well, yeah, anyway. So don't be afraid, okay? As Mark said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if he didn't, who does? Yeah, okay. Why don't we stand and sing this? Know what's going on, but he does. That's what's important. Learning to lean, okay? Sometimes we need to learn to lean on the Lord, and it's sometimes a trial before we learn that lesson. Say hi to those around about you. Oh. Yeah, it was scary there for a little while.
Hi,
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about fear, and we're going to look a little bit more about that here today as we look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. You know, we're into a new year, but it's anybody's guess as to how 23 is going to turn out. We started down this bumpy road in 20. Keep thinking every year is going to be better, but doesn't always work out that way. And we could be fearful of what's ahead. You hear all kinds of things, you know, food shortages and everything. That kind of quieted down with the railroad strike not happening, but they didn't really fix that. That's just going to come back in a little while. But anyway, who are we going to depend on? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of David and some of the trials and difficulties that he went through and how we can learn from him. And we pray that you'd provide some help and encouragement to us today as we may have various things in our own hearts and minds that we're a bit fearful of. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so fear. Dr. Walter Cannon, a pioneer researcher in psychosomatic medicine at Harvard University. That's a long title there. But he describes what happens to the human body when either we become angry or fearful. He says, respiratory deepens, the heart beats more rapidly, the arterial pressure rises, the blood is shifted from the stomach and the intestines to the heart and the central nervous system and the muscles. The process of alimentary canal cease. That's your from throat to front, top to bottom, okay? It stops. Sugar is freed from the reservoirs in the liver. The spleen contracts and discharges its contents of concentrated corpuscles and adrenaline into your bloodstream. Do you know all that? Well, and if we get fearful a lot, you got an awful lot of stuff going on in your body that you may not even be aware of. Well, we're not alone in this. If you're there in Psalm 27, let's look at these first five verses here to begin with. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in my time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock." Now, there are times when the psalmist experienced fear. He's being pursued by enemies. As we see there in verse 2 and 3 again, he says, "When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though a war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident." And so he's got enemies, plural, that are after him, that really want to take his life. And it seems as if he's, for whatever reason, is shut out from the house of the Lord. That may be because at some point, like when Saul was chasing him, he didn't just venture on into Jerusalem to go to the temple and or to the tabernacle. And so he says, but this is what he desired. You know, if you're kind of out on the run, you know, and people are after you, trying to nail your hide to the wall, would you be thinking this like David did? He says in verse 4, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. This was a real desire on David's part. He was grieved that he wasn't able to do that at this point in his life. And we don't know any more of the details than this, but it may be just a matter of contrast between the love of a parent, his mother, his father. You think of all the things, all the people that love you, you know, they got to be at the top of the list. You know, mom and dad are always going to be there and hopefully be there for you, to pray for you, to encourage you. But he says there in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Okay, so if everybody else bails on you, even old mom and dad, the Lord is still going to be there for you. And he says that God's love for you is far surpassing even the love that the type of love that your mother and father have for you. God loves you when nobody else does, okay? And lots of times we're thinking nobody does, but it probably isn't that bad. But he was subject to slander. Have you ever had people say mean, horrible things about you that weren't true? Well, David did. He says there in verse 12, deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Okay, so they're trying to ruin David verbally. If they can't kill him, will ruin his reputation. And we see that kind of on a regular basis. If you watch any of the news, you know, it's a bad news travels fast. And so whether you're a politician or otherwise, if one of your enemies wants to knock you out of the running, they're going to find some dirt on you somewhere, somehow. And we don't have an awful lot more background on this particular psalm, but one of the things that that comes across through all of this is that the Lord is there for us. We can trust the Lord no matter what's going on, okay? And 2023 is not the exception, okay? We can trust the Lord through whatever may come our way. And David speaks of kind of in generalities here about the battles that he faces, whether it's actually physical contact or mental, spiritual battles he faces, his worship, the desire to worship, his repentance and confidence in the Lord. And so there are three things that we want to just touch on here today, and we'll look at each one of these a little bit more in depth. But we want to see here that the Lord is the source of our strength, okay? It's not some kind of super vitamin that, you know, what is it? I can't remember the names of all these things. If you just get these vitamins, these green vitamins, you know, they're going to pep you up and you're going to be good for pretty much anything. Changed all these people's lives. Only $90 a month or something. Or he's going to lead us in a plain path. You ever been, it's like a fork in the road. And used to think about that before they changed the road. It used to be you drive down National Avenue, you get to a point and you either go left and you're up on National, or you go right and you're on Oklahoma. Well, now it's more of a direct turn. It's not so much of a Y in the road anymore, but otherwise, in our regular life, we face choices. Many of them are every day. Some of them we don't even think too much about. What clothes you're going to wear, you know, or whatever. You just do it, okay? But there are other times it's like, okay, I got to make a choice here. Which one's the right one? And so choices are made. And then we also want to see that no matter what happens, the Lord will not forsake us. He's not going to bail on us, right? You may have at some point in time had close friends that for whatever reason kind of bailed out on you. And maybe especially when you really needed them, they weren't there. Well, let's look here. First of all, he's the source of our strength. And the main reason behind this is because of fear. David was afraid. And but then he kind of reminds himself. We need to remind ourselves too. He says there in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Okay? We need to remind ourselves of that. And then as a result of that, well, who do I really have to fear? Okay? Well, you might say, there's all kinds of things. But again, the Lord is the strength of his life. He doesn't need to be. Sometimes we can choose to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. But oftentimes it's because we get our eyes on the circumstances instead of on the Lord. Okay? God's more than able to handle whatever circumstances come into our lives. But sometimes we find things that, at least for a short period of time, cause us to fear. And one fellow, I'm having trouble pronouncing this Japanese fellow's name, Shohaya. I won't even try the last name. But he spent 28 years of his life in prison. This was not a regular prison with bars and locks and wardens and so. It was a self-imposed prison of fear. He was a Japanese soldier on the island of Guam during World War II. And when the American forces landed, he fled into the jungle and found himself a cave. And he hid in that cave for 28 years. He was afraid of being captured by the Americans. And he had learned that the war was over because they dropped all kinds of leaflets and everything. But he was still afraid. And so for 28 years, he pretty much stayed out of sight during the daytime and would come out at night. This will put you on a diet. Looking for roaches and rats and frogs and mangoes, on which he survived. Finally, some natives came across him and convinced him that it was going to be okay for him to come out. Can you imagine 28 years living like that, just in survival mode? Well, he was afraid, and that's what motivated him to do that, take that kind of action. Well, we need to see when we are afraid, we need to remind ourselves that God is our strength. And we see here the Lord has pledged his strength. He says, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Okay, he's taken care of the spiritual side of things. He's my salvation. I don't need to fear going to hell, spend eternity separated from God. I trusted Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. He's dealt with that issue. And then who shall I fear? Well, he had all kinds of enemies. But he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Okay? His dependence is on the Lord, not on David, not on his cunning ability to kind of try to outsmart all of his enemies. I mean, he had to have his head screwed on. He had to think properly. But at the same time, his dependence is on the Lord, not on himself. And too many people today are just depending on their own wits, their own ability to think through the problem and come up with a solution. And unfortunately, sometimes we try several solutions that don't work before we decide maybe we'll talk to God about it and he'll provide a way. But we see here a fellow did an experiment that was recommended to him. And he said a way of training your mind to solve problems was to walk through the house in the dark with your eyes closed. Now, I think I probably need to add something here. If you're really going to try this, make sure that all the Legos and everything are picked up before you try this, because otherwise you might be doing a dance that you never trained for. Okay, so you go through the house with your eyes closed, without the lights on, and you use your other senses to avoid the obstacles. And in the dark, what is it that's going to keep you from tripping over something? You know, your big toe will probably find something, but probably it's your sense of touch. Maybe you're doing this little wide sweep here a little bit as you go along. You don't have the white cane, but use your foot instead. And in treacherous times, David found out that it was God that would help him feel his way along. And the psalm here is, it's not some abstract thing. It's not David dreaming and waking up and find out he was fearful over nothing. It wasn't make-believe. It was real, okay? This was real life for David. And he had military enemies, at least for Saul and some of these other times that we'll see. He had soldiers that were looking for him. Probably a bounty out for David, if you can bring him back dead or alive. And he had people that potentially wanted to kill him. And so he describes this situation that he's experiencing, and it happens to him more than once. But the thing is, God is there each and every time, and God helps him survive. You may remember some of these as you go along, and I think the first one here I mentioned here is not in your notes, but because we think about him and Goliath. But really, you stop and think, why did he even think he could do it, go against Goliath? Because he'd already killed a lion and a bear, okay? So that should probably be at the top of the list, okay? But then God was with him with the lion and the bear. God was with him when he faced Goliath. God was with him when he faced the Philistines. That was kind of an ongoing thing with the Philistines. Same thing with Saul. Saul hunted him for years, chasing him like a fox, you know, and trying to catch up with him. Because, again, David was his competition. You know, I got to get rid of this kid. He's going to take my job. And so God was with him when he faced the Jebusites. And even with his own son, Absalom, runs him out of town. And so he found God was his source of strength over and over and over again. Well, rather than us just thinking, oh, well, that was David. No, it works for us too. We don't have to try all kinds of other things first. Rely, learn from David, okay? God is our source of strength. And the thing is, you may not be fearful today, like David, that somebody's after you to take your life, okay? But you may have other fears. Again, there are other things that you might be afraid of, and with real reason. Anybody excited about 87,000 IRS agents going to be out there looking for somebody? All right. Now, I try to do my taxes as good as I know how, and last year I got somebody else to put their name on the dotted line. I thought, if I'm going to jail, he's going with me, you know? So, but no, trying to do it right. But these guys, they're looking for blood. All right, you know, they got to make look like that they're really earning their keep. So there are other things. Maybe some people are fearful of another pandemic or of some other health issues that they're facing themselves. Finances. Okay, stock market's down. Don't look at your 401k when it comes in the mail because it doesn't look like what it used to. Or inflation. How high is it going to go? Anybody think they're going to pay $6 for a dozen eggs? I mean, it's nuts, all right? And so, again, there's all kinds of things just in everyday life that cause us fear. But what we must never, never forget is that God is our source of strength, okay? He's there. He's there to help us out. We don't know what we're going to face in 23, okay? I'm not trying to make you fearful, but just, hey, we don't know, okay? But regardless of what is out there, God is going to be our source of strength. I keep looking back, and you're not always supposed to be looking back, but to think back, learn from what Scripture says. But look at how God took care of the Israelites. They leave Egypt, okay, with clothes on their back, and God takes care of them out there They didn't have to be out there for 40 years, but because they wouldn't believe God and go in and possess the land, they got to wander around for 40 years. God fed them. God gave them the water, everything else that they needed. Their shoes didn't wear out. I know that would be a sad thing for some people. They like to go get a new pair of shoes once in a while. You know, kids, do they ever do that? They drag their toes and everything else, try to get rid of these things. And, Mom, I need new shoes, you know. But again, God's going to be there for us. Well, not only is he our source of strength, but secondly, he will lead you in a plain path. Okay? He didn't say it's a needle in a haystack that you're going to have, it's going to take you your whole life to figure it out. He wants us to know what his will is and then to do it. Notice verse 11, if you would. He says, teach me, this is David, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Okay? I got opposition out there. I need to know the right path to be on. And, you know, sometimes we can get things pop up that were totally unexpected. And we don't have lots of times to make a decision. You may have heard this one before, but it is kind of a cute little story. Max Lucado shares a story of a parakeet. Chippy, remember Chippy? Chippy had a bad day. It began when the bird's owner decided to clean his cage with vacuum cleaner. And she was almost finished when the phone rang. I think this was back when, you know, it was on the wall. You had to go reach for the phone. And as she turned to answer the phone, she heard this little sound. And before she knew it, Chippy was gone. In panic, she opened the vacuum bag, and there's Chippy. Covered with dirt, gasping for air, she takes him and runs into the bathroom and turns on the faucet to wash Chippy off. Well, she gets him pretty wet and gets all the dirt off. And by this time, Chippy's wet and he's cold. And so she reaches for the hairdryer. And Chippy never knew what hit him. Somebody asked the owner a few days later how he was recovering. Well, she says, Chippy doesn't sing too much anymore. He just kind of sat and stares. Well, things come out at us sometimes just bang, you know. It's not a vacuum cleaner, but it might be something else. And we're kind of stunned. We're taking a few days to get our, you know, bearings about us and wondering what happened. But the thing is, we even at that moment, we need to remain teachable, okay? That God will lead us along, that God will provide some direction for our lives. And he can help us to find our footing and make the right choices. You know, we don't have to always learn by our mistakes. It's a whole lot easier if we make the right choice to begin with. And so here he says, he's asking the Lord. This is a prayer we can make. Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path, okay? Make it simple, Lord. And because of my enemies. So in most cases, there's a right way and a wrong way. I realize sometimes there's more than one right way, but there's usually a safe way and there's a dangerous way. And the question is, who will we look to when we're faced with a choice? Are we going to flip a coin? Is that how we're going to do it? You know, how are we going to make the choice? Now, David says, and we need to follow his direction here, his choice. He says, I don't know about you, but I'm going to look to the Lord. He will show me the right way to go. And he knows what's ahead. He knows the variables, what's going to happen. He knows what's going to go on in 23. And we don't. So we need to trust him. We need to look for his direction. Plain path. The idea here, it's a level path. There's no dangerous stumbling out here. Make it clear to me, Lord. And He tells us there in 26, verse 12, he says, my foot standeth in an even place. Okay? We want to be on level ground here. And the enemies, again, are watching. They're looking for us to fall. They're looking for us to stumble. And like today, we got people that are listening to all the news broadcasts and everything, because everybody's seems like conversation's recorded. What did he say? You know, that we can come back on them later on. And they're just watching for somebody to make a mistake. And there are all kinds of them out there. A lot of people, there's a lot of decisions that are made on a regular basis that we don't know anything about. Okay? How many decisions were being made about COVID and how to respond to it? And, you know, we're going to listen to Fauci or not, and so on. 2001, governors of Western states were warned by the federal government about possible terrorist attack on bridges. Transportation officials scurried to tell people that the bridges were safe in spite of the warnings. The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco was used as a backdrop for this news story. One transportation official standing by the Golden Gate was telling why this particular bridge was secure. He says, every bit of concrete, all the pavement, every bit of steel in that entire bridge, all of it relates to one piece to another. Every piece of metal that the bridge finally relates to, two giant cables that finally come into two great piers that go down into bedrock, and two anchors out on each side. The idea was that every piece of metal, every piece of concrete was all tied together. And the point was here is, David's life was a bit like this suspension bridge. Everything in his life was tied to God. It wasn't David out here doing his thing until he got into trouble, and then it's, hey, God, can you help me out? No, his life was connected with the Lord. And the house of the Lord was kind of the focal point of it all. And he's looking to the Lord to provide a clear path for him to make right choices. Now, the Lord's always going to be there, but our part is to keep in good contact with the Lord. Sometimes people just kind of stray away, do their own thing, not paying too much attention to God, and until something bad happens, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, 911. But we need to keep the lines open between us and the Lord. Keep the conversation going, communication. And we not to use God like a spare tire that we only use in case of emergency. Kind of like health issues. If you've got some serious health issue, you're liking to keep in pretty close contact with the doctor. You know, what was the results of the tests and what do we do next and so on. And but whatever the issue is, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, financial, whatever, God can help us make right decisions. But we need to keep the communication lines open. We need regular contact there. And I was thinking about this, that again, he leads us on a safe path, and it's a bit like an aircraft, and I'm kind of into aircraft. Well, if a plane's coming in on approach, he's going to be landing at the airport, although you're not knowing about it in the back seat, that pilot is talking to somebody that's on a radar, and that radar controller is telling him, different things. I realize some of this got more automated since, you know, I had contact with that. But he's basically telling him, you're too high, you're too low, you're left or right of center, you're going too fast. You know, he's telling him all this information so that he's going to land at the right spot at the beginning of the runway, not halfway down the runway or miss the runway. And so they're keeping communication lines open. We need to keep the communication lines open between us and the Lord at all times, not just at bad times. Chase that thing down. Folgers did it again. Okay, so number three, he never forsakes his own. God is our strength. He gets us on the right path, and he will never forsake us. He's not going to send us down some dead-end road and say, see ya, you know. He's never going to forsake us. Notice there in verse 5, he says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Okay? It's going to be a firm place. He's going to hide me. He said, back up to verse 3, he says, and though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. And so he says here, there's a host. There's an army out there, will you? And they're in camp. They're surrounding us. Remember the old cowboy movies? Or the people that are, the guys that are moving west, and they're in the wagon train, and the Indians attack. You know, that's probably, none of that's politically correct anymore, but that's what happened. And what do? They circle the wagons, okay? And then the Indians are riding around, and they're shooting at one another, and so on. Well, he's got a host that are after him. It's an army. And they're surrounding him. There's a lot of his enemies out there. They're encamped, okay? There are times where they used to surround the city, and they figure they're going to starve them out. There, nobody gets in, nobody gets out. They don't have any water. They don't have any food. You know, at some point, they're going to give up. Well, here, they're in camp. They're surrounding him. They want to take him out, all right? And again, this is not just physical battles that we need confidence in. It's when we're facing health issues or financial issues or whatever it might be. God's not going to leave us high and dry. And we need when we're facing warfare, we need to have confidence. And not confidence in our own self, in our own abilities, but in the Lord. Our confidence needs to be in him. And that's a consistent message that we see through Scripture, that we're looking to the Lord, not just other people. Doesn't mean that God can't use other people to help you out, and he may, but ultimately we need to be looking to the Lord. And he's the one who's going to be there. Because you may have found that about the time you're depending on somebody to be that knight in shining armor to help you out in your time of need, they don't show or whatever. God's able to give us peace in the midst of difficult times. He says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, on the Lord, because he trusteth in thee. Okay? Our faith, our trust, our dependence on God is what's going to give us peace. And then he says in the next verse, Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Okay? God's not going to fizzle out on us. He's not going to run out of strength and energy or wisdom. And so David's confidence, he is in the Lord. He's experiencing peace. His trust is in God. Even though circumstance, if he got his eyes just on the circumstance and he's looking out there and saying, whoa, there's an awful lot of people out there that's look after my neck. But his dependence is on God, and he knows God's always going to be there for him. One Native American tribe had a unique practice for training their braves, and the night of the boy's 13th birthday, he would be placed out in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. And until up to that point, he hadn't been away from family. He'd always had the security of family and the tribe. Well, now he's taken out, blindfolded, taken miles away from camp, And when he takes off the blindfold, he's in the middle of thick woods by himself all night long. And some of you may have, if you've been out in the sticks somewhere and you've been camping, you know, and you hear that thud, 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 you know, is it a bear? You know, what is it? And twig snaps and you're thinking, oh, it's, you know, some kind of wild animal. And an animal howls and you wonder, oh, man, am I going to be, you know, midnight snack here or what? Imagine a wolf coming after him. And at times the wind would blow and the leaves would rustle and so on. And it was a long, scary night for this young man. And after what seemed like eternity, it starts to get light. And he's starting to be able to make out things. And he's looking out there and he can see the trees now and he can see a path. Then as he's looking around, to his astonishment, he sees the figure of a man standing there a few feet away with a bow and arrow. His dad had been there all night watching over him, protecting him, and he didn't even know it. You know, and folks, that's really what God does. He's on duty 24/7, okay? He's not going to be taking vacation and, you know, see you in a couple of weeks, do the best you can. He's always going to be there. And God is the same way as a believer. Like we said, we're one of his kids. And it's just like you as a parent. You're looking after your kids. Even when they're up and out away from the house, you're still praying for them. You're concerned what's going on in their life. And so let's remember these three things. It's not terribly difficult, but to remember, God is the source of our strength. See, that's pretty simple. But yeah, when the fear comes, we need to remind ourselves of that. Because again, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but it's that other guy, okay? And we need to remind ourselves, yeah, but God, I'm going to depend on him. And he's going to help me to make the right choice here. And he's never going to go off and leave me or forsake me. And that song tells us much of those same things. So whatever fears you might have had walking in, don't take them back home with you. Give them over to the Lord. Find your source of strength and encouragement in him. If you still have your Bibles open, we don't do responsive readings too often, but let's try one verse. Let's go back. If you still got your Bibles open, see, you quit before I did. Shame on you. Psalm 27. I got to the end of the outline. I thought he was done. Psalm 27. Let's read verse 1 together. The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Put that on a 3x5 card. Tape it to your dash. When you're out there on the freeway, and the cars, we saw two of them the other day. I think they were following one another. Not a turn signal in the bunch, but boy, they were shifting three lanes at a time, and you better get out of their way, you know. But there's all kinds of things that we could be afraid of, but it isn't like God's went off and forgotten about us. He's got his eye on us, okay? He's looking after us. He's looking after us in 2023, okay? Regardless of what's going on in Washington or Madison or whatever, that doesn't change things, okay? God is more than able to handle the task. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing salvation for those who choose to believe and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That handles this, the sin problem in our life. That you can forgive our sins and give us assurance of eternal life and knowing we're headed for heaven. And Lord, we do pray that you continue as we go through this life and we find ourselves in various situations that may cause us fear, that we remind ourselves that you are the strength. You know, it's not up to us to come up with a quick fix solution in our own mind, but to look to you and to look to your plain path, and that we will follow your directions. There may be times when you tell us to direct us to do something that at first may not make an awful lot of sense, but it ultimately is the best choice. And knowing you're always going to stick with us, you're never going to leave us or forsake us. Lord, if there be one here today that's never come to that point where they've trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, pray that you might draw them to yourself even yet today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we sing a closing hymn, number 47, God Will Take Care of You.
Number 47. If you find that, will you stand with me as we sing that in closing? Number 47.
You've heard of the first one.